covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Ho-hum, they score 9 runs like it's no big deal. How about it? The Brewers get another series win, get another winning homestand as they take care of business against the Cleveland Guardians, who are certainly depleted right now offensively. 9-4, the final score today. I'm Dominic Catronio. Pleased to be joined by Craig Kishon here tonight. We'll talk about Brandon Sproat. The medical update from the Brewers is that it was a right hamstring cramp. He is expected to not miss time. So that's a silver lining for his injury today. The Brewers jumped all over the Guardians ace Gavin Williams, matching a career high and runs allowed in a game for the big rig, as they call him, Craig. And, you know, I look at that first inning. It all was set the tone, of course, by the captain, Christian Yelich, going an opposite field home run. But I thought the real encapsulation of the Brewers' offense was the fact that they made a two-out walk come back to bite Gavin Williams with a 2-RBI double from Sal Frelick.
Well, that's what they do, Dom, man. They're very dangerous with, you know, two outs. There's no question about that. And, you know, being able to jump on that early like, you know, they were able to do in that opening inning is, that's just kind of the Brewer way. I think tonight we saw a lot of the Brewer way here. And with Christian Yelich leading off with that home run and then just kind of aggressively after that, just kind of taking advantage of what came to them at the plate, I think they did a really good job overall.
I think the way that the Brewers had their approach against Williams, they understood that the breaking stuff's nasty. I mean, that's what he has, a big velo fastball, obviously, but the sweeper and the curveball were unhittable in the later stages of this game. So when they were getting heaters, they just weren't missing it. Now, granted, Yelly's homer came on a hanging curveball, and then Churio going opposite field for a 2-run shot as well was super impressive from him. But the way I look at this offense, we talked about it yesterday with Augie in the fact that we know there's a lot of ways for this team to score runs. And yesterday they only scored 2. Today they score 9. And we talked about how they treaded water throughout April and early May to get things going, to be ready for when everybody's back at full strength. And once again, they're back at full strength. And, you know, you look at some of the key guys in today's game. Bryce just had one hit. It was an RBI double. It felt like every little thing added up in today's game. Every starter but Garrett Mitchell reached base in today's game. And when you have a lineup 1-9 contributing in some way, shape, or form, that's when you get excited and like, ooh, is this team really, really that much better than last year's team right now?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. There's no doubt about it. Here's the thing. I love the Yelich leadoff home run because you're talking about a veteran guy who starts the game out and says, I've got this. And he did a tremendous job, obviously. He's had his share of leadoff home runs. But in that first inning, you've got Sal Frelick, who has not really been able to produce a ton this year, and he comes through with that big 2-RBI knock. I mean, that's exactly what this team needs right now. And if you're going up and down 1-9 in that lineup, to me, I just have to look at the guy who has not been able to contribute a ton right now, but you're counting on. And I think Sal Frelick's knock today was absolutely huge. He needed that. The team needed that. And you hope it's just a catalyst from here on for a guy out in right field who, you know, has done it in the past. And from this point forward, for the last 3 months of the season, you're going to need even more of that.
Yeah, I think for Sal, for somebody like in his role, right, he's going to be hitting sixth or lower really the rest of the season. And that role is just get on base, create havoc, hit the ball hard when there are opportunities to do so. And I think for the rest of this order, because we know Churio is an aircraft carrier because he is white hot right now. Bryce Terang carried this offense for the first 2 months of the year. Now, you know, he's not playing poorly by any stretch of the imagination. He had a couple of hits yesterday too. But that when you get the depth of this lineup that it currently has, when you're getting contributions from a rookie in his second game in the big leagues like Cooper Pratt, when you're getting a sack bunt and an infield hit from David Hamilton and a stolen base and he comes around to score on the Churio homer, it's just like when the big boppers at the top get opportunities with runners on base, that's the dream scenario. And when I bring up Churio, I mean, my goodness, another homer from him. He didn't strike out again today. Opposite field as well. It's a reminder that the Brewers had this foresight. He is under team control for at least another 5 seasons. And then the team options on the back end of that. I was just looking back at the reaction to that signing back ahead of the 2024 season. And here we are in June. And I feel like the Brewers have already got their money's worth right now.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about that. You're absolutely right. I mean, from really that, you know, from Yelich's leadoff home run all the way down to all of a sudden it's a 5-0 lead, and then it becomes a 5-4 game, and we're only in the fourth inning. So what are we thinking? Is this going to just be a back and forth roller coaster the rest of the way? No, Jackson Churio hits a 2-run home run with 2 outs in the fourth inning. I mean, this game ended up being settled because of Jackson Churio in the fourth inning. Everything kind of calmed down. Sproat had his injury in the top half of that injury, and then Jackson Churio took care of business. So this was really a great night for the offense because we've seen this. Hey, one game, it's the pitching dominating. We saw it last night, 2-1 win. It's all about pitching then. And then tonight, you know, it's all about the offense. And sometimes the pitching can't hold it. You give up a grand slam out of nowhere, and suddenly we got a game. But Jackson Churio, like, quiets the crowd. I'm good. I've got this. And that's the great thing about him.
And avoiding the shutdown inning, right? How many times have we talked about that?
They
hit a grand slam in the top half. Churio responds to the 2-out back-breaking homer in the bottom half. That's what winning teams do. They respond.
Yes.
They're able 100%. To step up to the plate and have their stars play like stars, and Churio is playing like one right now. Now, just to give you the numbers on this year versus last, then we'll go to break. Last year through 71 games, now this is before the longer winning streaks here. So at this point last year, the Brewers were getting ready to win 3 out of 4 against the St. Louis Cardinals here at home. They had lost back-to-back series, actually, to San Diego and Atlanta, and were just kind of like still trying to find their gear. But basically, from the end of June on is when they went on to this crazy run to finish the season. But the numbers. Through 71 games last year, it was a .235 team batting average. This year, it's 20 points higher, .255. Last year, a .312 on base. This year, .340, 28 points higher. Thus, their OPS is currently almost 60 points higher. Their slugging is 30 points higher. They have hit 67 homers this season. Last year, they had hit 63, but they only had 94 doubles. This team has 125 doubles. So, I mean, the numbers agree with the statement. The feeling is that it's better, and it just feels like, okay, it could only get better when you think about the personnel they have.
Well, to me, Dom, among the extra base hits, I love the home run. Everybody loves a home run. We get it. That's a wash, obviously. But the doubles, that's not a wash. I mean, what are we talking about? 30 or 40 extra doubles, which means 30 or 40 extra times you're automatically, with one swing in the bat, putting a guy in scoring position. And this team has done a pretty good job with runners in scoring position for the most part. I mean, there's some ups and downs, I get it. But if you're putting a guy at second base, why is this team in first place right now? Because they're taking advantage of those opportunities. So they've taken a significant jump up without flying on the radar. I talk all the time about I love this team because it flies under the radar. But, I mean, when you're doing that and you're not flying on the radar because everybody's looking at the home runs, I love this. I think they're doing a great job. Their approach from every single guy who gets his chance to start a game is equal to everybody else. And you cannot argue winning baseball outside of that.
Yeah, I agree entirely. We'll get to some text. We'll talk some pitching as well. Brewers win 9-4. Phone number is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 9-4. Vibes are good. Vibes are very, very good. It's a winning homestand as the Brewers had that happy off day, of course, after winning the series against the Phils, now have won the first two games against the Guardians, and will try to go for the sweep tomorrow, handing the ball to Shane Drouin to try to finish up the homestand. The winning pitcher today is Chad Patrick, coming in emergency work out of the bullpen after Brandon Sproat exited in the fourth inning due to cramping in his right hamstring. Let's knock out Brandon Sproat before we give the kudos and the roses to Chad Patrick today, because he got back on track. Man, there's no other way to describe today, Craig, than Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because you saw Dr. Jekyll in those first nine batters. Like, whoa, okay, five strikeouts, attacking the zone, didn't have a three-ball count, went nine up, nine down, and then Mr. Hyde walked through the door with a walk, a two-strike single, another walk to load the bases, and then a grand slam with two strikes on Daniel Schneemann. Suddenly made everybody go, oh, man, he just had it. Like, you could see him doing it. You could see all the building blocks coming together at once, and then it turned out to be a house of cards.
Gosh darn it. I wish I could describe how I really feel about this guy sometimes, Dom, and I'm just being honest with you. I think he really has so much potential. It's not even an arguing point. I think everybody agrees with that. It's what you do with the other side. That's the thing. Like, it, that's not what I'm Dr. Baseball for here right now. That's something for the Brewers to figure out. But this guy's got it. And if he can figure it out, if they can figure it out, even give me six innings of what we saw the first three. If I can have three more of that every game, just give me six innings of that, Brandon Sproat. Man, he is going to be really, really such a perfect fit for this team. But you can't have a 5-0 lead and basically in the snap of a finger, all of a sudden it's 5-4. That just obviously can't happen. You can't walk guys. You can't let them score. Everything that went wrong in that one inning for four runs was just not the way it can happen. So hopefully that's an anomaly, but I don't think so for him. I think he's still got a lot to figure out, Dom. And I know you probably agree with that too. And it's just going to be, this could be the one pitcher where it takes a full season. Maybe it takes two seasons. Who knows right now? But if he can turn into something really special, he's got the ability and the talent. Man, it could be something. But right now, it is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, no doubt.
I think that you can see the potential. This was one of those starts where I was watching in those first three innings where it's like, this is what we're talking about. Building on the quality that he had, even at elevation in Colorado and in Vegas. Just, okay, yes, 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 attacking in the zone. Your stuff plays in the zone when it's executed. Now, when he's not executing, like when he hung that curveball to Schneemann and it doesn't come back, okay, execute in the zone and you've got a different story. And he's talked about that plenty in going through his struggles. You know, there is a line that you have to kind of get close to and really put your toes on it to say, look, you're going to be an important piece of this team in its future. But the reality on the other side of that line is this team's expecting to win right now, and this team's expecting you to learn quickly. And he is learning quickly. You can see improvement from start to start, but yet a team like this, the Brewers, has a standard to say, like, and Pat Murphy talked about it a lot in postgame today that will air lately. It's like, you need to have the focus, even with a 5-0 lead, that, like you said, Craig, it's gone in the blink of an eye, and it's 5-4, now we got to change the bullpen, now you're cramping, and things go wrong, but nonetheless, the Brewers survived it because they have great depth, and because they believe in Brandon Sproat, they expect him to make his next start. Now, on a positive note, how about Chad Patrick? I mean, he needed this more than Brandon Sproat needed a quality start, quite frankly, because of how the last two games had gone in Vegas and in the game against the Phillies on Saturday. For Chad to come in pumping strikes, just gave up one hit in his 3 and a third of work. He struck out 7, which was the season high out of nowhere. He retired the last 8 batters that he faced. Chad Patrick did his job tonight and then some to earn this win.
Yeah, it was really great to see him rebound the way he did. And you know, rebounding as a pitcher and a guy that you're really counting on does not mean several outings of not performing at a high level and borderline failing at times. And we've really only seen, you know, a couple of outings go by for him where it's like, what the heck is going on? But tonight, kind of vintage of what you would expect out of Chad Patrick, even though the guy's still, you know, young and a little bit inexperienced, of course, in the majors here right now. But this is the potential that this guy has. And I don't know, I still marvel, Dom, on the role that he's accepted of. Yeah, he may have started some games, but now to have a reliever come in, you know, mid-game and say, game is on the line. If you can't be a significant contributor right now, we are not going to win the game. And he came in a 5-4 game that shouldn't have been 5-4 at the time and completely shut down this Guardians team of all of their hopes and like, hey, we're back in the game. No, you're not, because Chad Patrick's on the hill. That's really, really, really significant, and to me sends a message to hopefully our division for starters, but the rest of the way to go. We're in mid-June here right now. It's, are you in or are you out? And I think tonight Chad Patrick pitched like he is in.
He's sort of become this Swiss Army knife now for the Brewers, kind of like how Ashby has been at times. I'm sure Chad at some point can make a spot start if they need him to. I like him in this multi-inning role. I don't mind if they shorten him up to get some leverage arms. That's certainly his role in October when they get to that point. But to see swing and miss, to see command, to see conviction in his own words, especially after the rough last two outings. I mean, the cutter that he threw backdoor to Stephen Kwan is a top three cutter I think I've ever seen him throw. I mean, it was up there with like that Aaron Judge cutter he got him to strike out on. In his own words, he calls it a hoverboard, where it just goes and it just turns left out of nowhere. And I was so impressed to see him dot that backdoor cutter like the one we saw he dot to Ian Happ in the playoffs last year, right? So him having confidence is a scary thing. To have the Brewers, how about this stat? I don't know if this, tell me if this is something or nothing, but the Brewers retired the first 9 batters of this game, and then retired the last 14 batters of this game. So the middle 4 outs there were a little bit of a problem, but there was a lot of good from the pitching staff tonight.
Well, hopefully you're not going to get beat just by the middle plate appearances. Let's just hope that that's the case, especially for a staff like this and for an offense that's capable of backing it like we saw tonight. So to me, that's just really, really significant. I mean, how are you going to win a playoff game? I mean, you can't expect shutouts. You can't expect every night to, you know, give up just one or two runs. But you need to make your statement early, and you need to make it late. And tonight was one of those nights. I mean, look, if things play out the way they could potentially play out, I mean, who knows if these two teams don't wind up, you know, seeing each other in a World Series. Don't laugh at me. I'm just saying we don't know what's going to happen this year. None of us do. But this was kind of a statement game from that standpoint. The Guardians are a very good team, and they're on the rise, and they've kind of stood out as I know the White Sox are having their comeback and stuff in the AL Central right now, but I think the Guardians are kind of the team here right now. So, but in any case, bottom line is, you know, the Brewers have done their job, and I like the point of they did dominate early and they really dominated late. I mean, you just got to shut your opponent down when you have the opportunity, and they did that tonight.
Yep, I agree with all of that front. As the Brewers, they get the win, they go for the series, and they get the series, I should say, and then tomorrow they will go for the sweep. Let's just take a look real quick on how this team is built and just kind of get ahead of ourselves for a moment here, as Cooper Pratt had a great second game in the show, some other homegrown talent across the board. We'll talk about that and get ready to get ahead of ourselves, as we'll be back after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the best real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Quick explainer from Jordan. And Jordan asking about, why is Drouin pitching tomorrow and not the Miz, and Miz going Friday? So the Brewers wanted to give Miz an extra day as they align the rest of the first half up. The other thing that giving him an extra day is that aligns him to pitch against the Cubs the following Friday as well. So that is also part of it too. Would you rather have him face the Reds on a Wednesday than have an off day, or would you rather him go on Friday against the Braves and the Cubs? I would take that personally myself. So Drouin goes on the regular 4 days rest, and then it'll be Miz against the best team in the National League, the Atlanta Braves. This one from Caleb. I'll reiterate what I said after the Vegas save. Chad Patrick is so underrated. Glad to see him bounce back after a couple of bad outings. Mark, good for Cooper in only his second game. Bring out the brooms. So let's talk about Cooper. Two hits, an RBI, stolen base. He got a little bit of everything going to the opposite field, and he's another success story for the Brewers on their homegrown system here. So Churio, homegrown. Terang, homegrown. Frelick, homegrown. Mitchell, homegrown. Cooper Pratt, homegrown. And I guess you can give a technicality on David Hamilton since he was originally drafted by the Brewers. So it's 6 out of 9 homegrown in today's starting lineup, and they have the third best record in baseball. And this is just a golden era, as we say, of Brewers baseball, Craig. But it's also a golden era for what they've been able to do on the player development side.
Right, and they haven't done anything but bring these guys up at the right time. I think, to me, that's what stands out the most. It's not like they were at a point of the franchise where they said, well, you know what? We've got nothing else to lose. Let's bring 3, 4, 5 guys up at once. It's never been like that in this regime, which is, you know, a huge credit for when you put things together, and it takes time to do. We all understand that, but really be patient with it and not overdo it. And, you know, they could have brought up Cooper Pratt. Quite frankly, if they wanted to, they could have started the season with him out at shortstop, but there was no need to do that. He had some development to do, and so they went through their process. But I think with him, after one game yesterday, and it, you know, yesterday everyone could say, well, that was a dud debut. He was 0-for-3, grounded out 3 times. And he had his error. But, I mean, so what? It was his first game. What are you going to do in your next game? And today I just thought he, you know, if this is any sign of who this kid is at 21 years old, to be able just to say the next day, I'm still me. I don't need to change. And I haven't done anything else but play my game to get here. To bounce back and do what he did today with a couple of hits. He got his first stolen base. He scored his first run. He got his first RBI. And after the game, he's all smiles. That's what today's baseball is. He should be smiling. He should be happy. He should be proud. He's got his family there. He's got his teammates behind him. His manager, you know, adores him at this point from what we can tell. So, you know, have fun, man. Go out there and produce and play the game and be a pro. And that's, to me, from the first 2 days, the first 48 hours, that's what I'm seeing.
So I'm looking at this team right now, right? And I'm looking at what the Brewers have on the horizon, right? Jesus Madej, who was pulled from a game tonight due to a collision with Josh Adamczewski. in left field. Adam McAlvey reporting that it was a contusion, pulled out for precautionary reasons. And yes, Luis Peña is currently dealing with a hamstring strain, but those are the top two prospects in this organization. They've got Tyson Harden pitching very well in AAA right now. Bishop Letson is on the way right now. They've got some pieces still on the way right now. And I look at this team, and I look at kind of the picture of what you're looking at where, okay, the only guy that's not going to be on this team next season that's in the starting lineup is Jake Bowers, right? He's a free agent to be. Now, maybe something can change between now and then. And then Brandon Woodruff, of course, because he's on the qualifying offer. We'll see what the Brewers ultimately decide to do with him. But then, you know, as far as everyday starters, everyone's virtually back next season, which I look at this window they've now opened up where Yelly's under team control for two more years after this one. You've got Cheerio opened up. He's under team control through 2033. You've got Aaron Ashby under control through 2029. You've got Cooper Pratt under control forever. You've got Lara under control forever. You haven't even had the debut of the guys I mentioned. I'm just like, this isn't going to end anytime soon. I'm getting ahead of myself that, like, this is it. This next 3 years is supposed to be what you build up all of this prospect capital for, and I hope that they can thread that needle, as they say all the time, that if they can add something at this trade deadline, whatever it may be, whatever they think can help this team in a big way, this is the window. This is the time to go for it.
Yeah, I agree with the whole window opportunity. I mean, there's no question. I mean, facts is facts. You laid everything down. They have most of these guys coming back for next year and beyond. So the foundation is set. Can they add to that foundation within their own development? They absolutely can. But to take that next jump, if they want to say we've been knocking on the door for how many years here, you know, losing a first round, maybe making it to the league championship series, and we know what happened last year, all that stuff, what is it going to take? And sometimes you just have to say it's going to take giving up some of these guys and potentially going for it with a big name difference maker. And that absolutely 100% is on the table. I mean, if you're here to win and you're here to say on the record you're going for it, I want to win a championship, they have the ability to go ahead and do that. So to have control of that, they have control of that. And that, to me, is such a key. Without setting back their future. So to me, I think that's where the Brewers are in complete control here right now to do what they want to do. The end result is going to have to play out, but to have the ability to be in control to go ahead and try to do that, at least it's up to them at this point. I'm not sure up until now it has been all the way. But I think now the way they've developed their guys and they've come up and they're producing and you can see what the future is with them, it's certainly within the realm of possibility. There's no doubt in my mind.
And by the way, you know, Bryce Terang, he's a Super 2, so this was his first year of arbitration this last year. He's under team control through the 2029 season, which coincides with the mutual option year of Christian Yelich in 2029. So maybe the rules change next year with whatever happens in CBA, but I'm just monitoring the fact that, hey, the Brewers have already budgeted a good hefty sum to somebody like Christian Yelich before. I'm not losing hope that they can't do it again with somebody like Bryce Terang, because you can see a core here for these next 3 years of Cooper Pratt and Bryce Terang up the middle, maybe Jesus Madej over at third, maybe Andrew Fisher over at first, who homered in his AA debut tonight. I'm getting way ahead of myself here, Craig, but I see it. I see what Matt Arnold's been talking about this whole time.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're getting ahead of yourself, to be honest with you, Dom. I mean, there's such a core here right now, and now you're ready. If you need to add a piece or two or three, which you have the capability of doing, that's my whole thing. They have the capability of doing that within their own organization and or popping somebody from outside their organization and putting them in and saying, this is the missing piece. You never know, but I'm telling you, to be in control of that, which this organization is right now, is absolutely huge. If you're trying to win your first World Series ever, that's my thing. They're in such control of that right now, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been 44 years since they've even been in the dance, right. And now they've been one game short, of course, and in 2018 they were, you know, four wins away from doing it last year. We know how that series ended, but, you know, I see both sides of that coin, but we've still got about a month and a half to make up trade rumors for Tarek Skubal, as every national media outlet seems to do here right now, for the Brewers to make the trade for Matt Arnold. But nonetheless, they'll go for a sweep tomorrow. Appreciate you as always, Craig Kishon, joining us on WTMJ. Enjoy the rest of your couple of days off, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. We're going to hear from Chad Patrick. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy, and we'll get you some highlights as the Brewers win today 9-4 over the Guardians. Back with more in a moment on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win today 9-4. They're in first place in the division. Corrected on the chat that, yes, the Braves have now fallen out of that top record in baseball. The Braves, they lost today to the Giants. They're now 46-27. The Dodgers, meanwhile, swept the Rays today. They are 48-27 now for their best record in baseball. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive it a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com, International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. I'm going away from the offense. I'm giving it to Chad Patrick for what he did in emergency work out of the bullpen, and he caught up with Josh Maurer after today's victory.
As promised, Chad Patrick, the pitcher of the night for the Brewers, kind enough to stick around and chat with us about it down by the clubhouse. Chad, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great up here. It was great to watch you pitch tonight. What was your mindset after? I know that the last couple of outings that you had, those were disappointing for you. So how did you feel mentally as you took the mound tonight?
Yeah, I think tonight, you know, I didn't know that I was going to go that long, obviously, but just wanted to set the tone from pitch one, and unfortunately, you know, walked him and then got the ground out, and then after that it was more so just gonna go out and attack the zone and make good pitches.
7 strikeouts of 10 outs you've recorded in this game. Do you remember having an outing either in the majors or the minors where 70% of your outs came on strikeouts like it was tonight?
Yeah, no. I think I said that in the dugout. I was like, dang, I had more strikeouts in relief than I had in a start this year. So I thought that was kind of funny.
You'll take it, though, right?
Yeah, for sure. You always want some strikeouts.
What did you think after the games, both in Vegas last week and then against the Phillies on Saturday? You have to have a short memory, I know, in this game, and especially now in this role where you're being used in these leverage spots out of the bullpen. How do you mentally handle stuff like that, Chad?
Yeah, you know, those last two outings in Vegas and against the Phillies, just really wasn't getting the cutter to the right spot. You know, it's my pitch, and anytime I'm not able to command it, it's gonna be a rough time out there. So went back to the drawing board and, you know, took a couple days off, mental reset, and just found a way to find it again. And like you said, it's one of those things where you got to have a short memory, and it's next man up mentality from there.
Chad Patrick, our guest here. The Brewers beat the Guardians tonight by a final score of 9-4. I was saying this before you put the headset on, Chad. The offense this month is averaging 8 runs a game, and we're more than halfway through this month. It's not a small sample size. From your vantage point, how fun is it to watch what the guys are doing with the bats?
I mean, anytime you're putting up eight runs a game, you should win them all, right? I think this team is elite, and we're only going to get better and stronger. The way these guys approach their at bats is incredible. I think we do a great job against starters. We wear them out. We make them make pitches, and when they don't, we make them pay.
Another winning homestand. One of the things, and I know you've only been around for this ball club for the last couple of seasons, but one of the biggest reasons it feels like that this team has won divisions year after year How do you win a division? You win series. You stack up winning series after winning series, or winning homestand, or winning road trip, whatever it is. You don't have to win every game. But do you feel that too, Chad, and the guys in the clubhouse, when you just win 2 out of 3 or you win 4 out of 6, if you keep doing that, that is getting the job done. And that's what this team seems to have done so well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a recipe for success. I said it when I was a little kid, you know, growing up watching baseball, as you win series, you're going to be an elite club. It puts a lot of pressure on the other team to come out, you know, after we win the first two, you know, to come out there and try to win the third one. So I think that we're in a great spot here. And as long as we just keep stacking days and stacking wins and, you know, making the most of it, we're going to be in a great spot.
Well, you were awesome to watch tonight, Chad. Congratulations on this great win for you and for the team. Thanks so much for sticking around.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Chad Patrick, one of the good guys in that clubhouse. Good to see him succeed. How about Murph? We'll hear from him up next on 620 WTM. Who's Hot, Who's Cold is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Well, Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home, with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Sider.com today. That's S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Families helping families since 1912. Brewers get the win 9-4 today. Who's Hot? Jackson Churio. 8 homers in his last 12. 9 homers in his last 17. He has been on a roll. Cold can be the Brewers' next divisional opponent, the Cincinnati Reds. As the Reds today, they... Did they hang on to that game? Can't find them in my board here. But nonetheless, Cincinnati is now under 500. They did lose 9-1 to the Mets. They are 35-38 for last place in the division. The Brewers will see them on Monday. How about the manager, Pat Murphy, giving an update on Sproat and assessing his outing, among other things?
Murph, what's the word on Sproat?
Yeah, it's just a cramp. He's fine. He'll be able to make his next start.
Kind of similar to what Jacob had earlier.
Yep.
What was the difference you saw in Chad and how encouraging was that?
That's the way Chad's been pitching all year. He had a couple hiccups, one in, you know, whatever, wherever we were, where he didn't have that same conviction. Maybe something else bothered him, I'm not sure. But that's the Chad Patrick we're used to that he's done most of the time. Conviction.
I feel like some of your hitters are showing conviction, especially Churio,
seems to miss. Yeah, I mean, they fade in and out. You know, they have great at bats, and you know, guys fade in and out. Sal was really good tonight. Contreras had 2 great swings tonight. Churio 1, Yelich had 2. You know, I just tracked the great at bats. Pratt had 2. You know, Sanchez had 1. Terang had 1, Churio had 1, you know, that's what I'm tracking.
Your starters had a nice year. How were you able to kind of jump on him the way he was worked out in the season?
Yeah, I mean, we can do that at times when we're stay disciplined, we can do that. But, I mean, that guy's got great stuff. You can see it. He's got great stuff. It wasn't as pinpoint as he wanted to be, and, you know, yeah, I mean, he had 2 great at-bats where he stayed in the zone and didn't try to do too much, you know. He'll tell you, you know, it was predicted by some great Swami that his first hit would be between the 3-4 hole. That was a prediction that was told to him by the Swami. And then it came true, and he started to realize, hey, you know what, I don't have to do too much. So really proud of him, really proud of him. Yeah, exactly. Stole base, awareness. We know he's going to play defense, you know. And
Murph Sproat was so good in the first 3 innings. Do you think that hamstring started bothering him?
No.
Earlier,
I mean, he did cramp. I saw him reach for it. He did cramp, but, you know, I thought it was poor poor concentration in that fourth inning when things started to go bad. I think he lost his, or whatever type of focus it was poor because he was capable of throwing the ball in the zone and didn't because he did it the first three innings. So that's youth, and it's something that's got to change.
Before Jackson's home run, David Hamilton had two hustle plays. He made it to base and then he stole the base. You know, in other sports, you can see how teammates look out for each other. But does it happen with your team or in baseball where Jackson, not like he rewards it with a home run, but he's trying to?
I think what happens, that's a great question. I think what happens is when you put pressure on the pitcher from a different standpoint, from the base running standpoint, you put pressure on the pitcher, he then becomes more aware of the base runner and what he can do, the havoc he can cause. And sometimes, you don't know for sure, but sometimes that creates a lack of execution on the pitch. And then that helps the hitter.
Well, Sproat will make his next start probably against the Cincinnati Reds. Highlights coming up next as the Brewers get the victory. Plenty of offense on the other side of the break.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Let's kick it into overdrive for the highlights at the end of the program. It started out fast for the Crew against Gavin Williams and the Guardians.
Swing a fly ball out towards left field. It's back and gone for Yelich. Christian Yelich hits his fifth home run of the season, and the Brewers have a 1-0 lead.
A leadoff shot, the 10th of his career. Brewers weren't done in the first, a two-out walk to William Contreras, a single by Bowers, and Frelick cashes in.
Here's the 2-1. Lined into the gap in right center field. It's down. At least one will score. Bowers sent around third. Here comes the throw home, and it's held by the relay man. It's a two-run double off the bat of Sal Frelick. 3-0 against Gavin Williams and the Guardians in the opening inning.
Well, they were far from done into the second inning. An RBI single from Christian Yelich scored Cooper Pratt, who had early picked up his first big league hit. He wouldn't be done, though. Bryce Terang came to the plate.
1-1 to Terang. Swing, a line drive into the gap in left center field. It's headed towards the wall. It's off the wall. Scoring is Yelich. Into second, Bryce Terang with an RBI double. Terang nearly popped one out of here. Instead, content with an RBI double.
Now, in the bottom of the, or rather in the top of the fourth inning, a grand slam for Daniel Schneeman made things interesting. Jackson Churio, with a 5-4 lead, makes sure to put any thoughts of a comeback in the past.
First offering to him is a high fly ball to right field. Back on it is Fry. Track, wall, gone! Jackson Churio goes deep. A two-run shot. And the Brewers on top, 7-4. Home run number 10 on the season for Churio, and the hot streak continues for the Brewers' young superstar.
Then they were adding insurance late in the eighth inning, an RBI double for Andrew Vaughn. Cooper Pratt having already collected a hit. Let's add more to the box score.
2-2. Line drive down the right field line, a base hit. Frelick scores, Perkins holds. And Cooper Pratt has his first big league run batted in. Listen to this crowd with the Coop chants.
They're already catching on. That would be the final score. 9-4 for the Brewers on 11 hits in today's game. The winning pitcher is Chad Patrick. The loser is Gavin Williams, matching a career high with 7 runs allowed. We're just about out of time here at the end of the program. The Brewers tomorrow start at 1:10. We're on the air at 12:35. Shane Drouin takes the ball against Parker Messick for the Guardians. Our producer is Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.